Amen. Thank you, brother, for that good music today. If you have a Bible in hand, turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Good to see you folks again. I pray God's been blessing you since the fall meeting and you've been pressing on, following hard after Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 will be our text this morning. 1 through 4, Colossians 3. If you're physically able to stand, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I'll give you a moment to find the text. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, and having read the verses, as we will do in just a moment, and prayed, then you may be seated after we pray, and then I want you to keep your Bible open to this passage because I'll be referring you to the text repeatedly through the course of the message. Colossians 3 verse 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." Father, thank you for the privilege of having a Bible in my hand today. The Word of God, eternal and without error and sufficient for every need that I will ever face. Sufficient for this service this morning, the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint the Word with the power of the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of the Lord would quicken these verses to our hearts today, make them a living reality for every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today is the day, as has been mentioned already by Brother Todd, that we commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in a special way. There's not a day that goes by that the saint of God doesn't live in the awareness that Christ is alive. This is not a one-day-a-year event for the Christian, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. But nonetheless, this day we've designated for ages past to recognize and remember that Jesus Christ came out of the grave triumphant. May I tell you this morning that the aliveness of the Lord Jesus is the thing that is most precious to every genuine Christian. And when I speak of the aliveness of Jesus, I'm talking about the personal reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just risen. He is risen and alive in my own personal experience. He is alive in me. He is alive to me. He is an intimate reality in my personal, my individual life. He communicates His aliveness to me in ways that are so personal and so deep and so real that it defies precise definition. I can't explain to you in human language the many ways that Jesus shows Himself alive to me. And those of you who know Him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, you know what I'm talking about. I'm speaking about knowing and experiencing the aliveness of Jesus Christ. Now, folk, this is what distinguishes lost church members from genuinely saved people. There are a lot of religious people who gather on Sunday mornings, and particularly on Easter Sunday morning, there are a lot of religious people who gather in churches across this country who are not saved. The difference between being religious and being saved is that saved people have a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus. He is not just a name that they hear at church. He is not just a religious icon or a religious figure. He is a personal living force in their life. He is real to the child of God. Now, our passage of Scripture today deals with the relationship of the living Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is alive and well, both now and forevermore. Our text deals with the relationship of this living Christ to individual Christians. To put it in a way that you may perhaps grasp more easily, what does Jesus Christ mean to those of us who come to Him for salvation? These wonderful verses present Him in at least four specific ways. And I want you to note them with me this morning. This is my song of celebration. This is my hymn of praise. I'm a preacher rather than a singer. So instead of singing my praise to Him today, I'm preaching my praise to Him. This is who Jesus is to me. And He's been this to me since I was a 9-year-old boy when I came to Him and was born again by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're already saved, if you've already turned from everything else in the world and put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from sin and from hell, then this text explains what Christ is to you this morning. But if you have not yet done so, if you have not yet put your personal faith in Christ and received Him into your own heart as King and God and Master and Lord, if you have yet to do that, then this passage speaks of what Jesus can be to you even today and will be if you turn to Him and call on Him and receive Him into your life. 4 things I want you to see from these verses. First of all, Christ is my resurrection. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Now we may come back tonight to look at the importance of seeking things that are above. But for right now, this morning, I want you to look at this phrase that begins the text. "If ye then be risen with Christ." Immediately, this passage of Scripture brings us face to face with the biggest question of all, which is today, are you risen with Christ? The if of verse 1 is the ultimate if of time and eternity. If you can say definitely yes today, I am risen with Christ, then the joy of this passage belongs to you. But if you would have to honestly say, no, I'm not risen with Christ, or if you would have to say, I don't even know what it means to be risen with Christ, then beloved, physical death is just the beginning of sorrows for you. You must be able to say, not only is Christ risen, but I'm risen with Him. You see, obviously, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus must be more to you than just a historical fact that you claim to believe in this morning. The resurrection of Christ must be something that you personally are sharing in and benefiting from. The old churches, the liturgical churches, on this Sunday particularly, all across this country, the question is being answered. The statement is being made from the pulpit, Christ is risen. And the answer that comes back is, He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, that's so. But the question I want to ask today, are you risen with Him? Are you personally sharing in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus? Have you allowed the risenness of Christ to impact your life, to impact your eternal destiny? Have you aligned yourself with the resurrected Jesus by believing on Him and receiving Him into your life? To put it another way, is He alive in you? Christ is alive today. Is He alive in you? Is the resurrection of Jesus a personal reality in your heart? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 pushes us into asking this issue, addressing this issue in our individual lives. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, lest you be reprobate?" I am to examine my life, and this Easter Sunday morning is a good opportunity to do it, to examine myself, to answer the question, is the risen Christ alive in me? Is Christ a living reality in my life? The Contemporary English Version translates verse 1 like this, "You have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side." Now, what this reminds us of this morning is the biblical teaching that in our natural condition, every one of us are spiritually dead. If you do not know Jesus Christ today, you're one of the living dead. Your body is alive. Your mind is working. Your brain is functioning. Your lungs are pumping. Your heart is beating. But down inside of you is a core of death. The Bible calls it being dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually, man without Christ is dead. And those of you who've been saved know what I'm talking about because you remember what it was like before you knew Jesus. How dead you were to the things of God. How things that were eternal and spiritual were so mysterious to you. You couldn't understand them. But when you came to Jesus, life came into you. And suddenly you were in contact with God, and the things of God mattered and were meaningful and were understandable to you. The Bible teaches that unsaved men, unredeemed men, unconverted men are not sick in need of medication. We're dead in need of resurrection. It's not something that can be fixed with self-help books. Psychology and psychiatry and humanistic methods of self-improvement may help me make some minor adjustments to my attitudes and to my behaviors. It might make life a little more manageable, but nothing short of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ could fix what is really wrong with me and what is really wrong with all of us. We are dead in trespasses and sins until we trust Jesus. And the Bible says when a person trusts Christ, what happens is that God raises us with Jesus. We become a participant in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is why the Bible and the Lord Jesus speak in terms of salvation like this. He said you must be born again. Born again. Not that you must join a church or you must pray a prayer or you must sign a decision card or you must be baptized. You must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means that resurrection life comes into you and replaces the deadness of your spirit toward God. John chapter 5, I'm going to read these to you. You may want to turn there, keep your finger here. I want to read something to you from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ, our Savior, said this, John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now that is a passage that you have to take. That is a passage that I have to go through. If I have never passed from death unto life, if all I did was join a church, if all I do is come to service every once in a while, then I am lost and in danger of hell. Somewhere along the line, something has to happen to us that causes us to pass from death unto life. To use the language of our text, am I risen with Christ? Am I alive in the Lord Jesus, alive to God? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever? Now, not did you join a church and are you a Baptist? But has it ever happened to you? Has this event that Scripture speaks of as passing from death unto life, being raised with Christ, has this ever happened in your life? Beloved, eternity hinges on that question. Your eternity hinges on the question, am I risen with Christ? So first of all today, most fundamentally, Christ is my resurrection. When Jesus died and rose again, he did that for my sake. He didn't do it for his sake. He already had eternal life. He already was God from eternity to eternity. Why did he die and allow himself to be buried and then rise again? He did it for my benefit, so that I could pass from death unto life, so that I could share in the victory that he won in his resurrection. Christ is my resurrection. I became a participant in the resurrection of Jesus Christ the day I trusted him in salvation. He saved me. I passed from death unto life. I was born again. And if you're saved today, you can give that same testimony. Now, one day the resurrection of Jesus is going to lift my body out of this earth realm, but his resurrection's already lifted my spirit out of this earth realm. Already I've been raised from death unto life. I can say this morning, and you can if you're a Christian, I can say today, I once was dead to God in sin, but now I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Romans 6:11 says, "Reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ is my resurrection. Secondly today, Christ is my refuge. Look at verse 3. If you can answer the question, yes, I am risen with Christ, then verse 3 is true of you. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, the truth of this verse is so wonderful that it defies my ability, really, to speak it to you in an appropriate way. I wish I had the tongue of men and angels this morning to speak to you the truth of verse 3. It speaks this morning of our position in Christ. If you are a Christian this morning, you are in Christ. That's the Bible term for you. You are in Christ. What does that mean, in Christ? It means that Christ Jesus literally covers me with himself. The Bible says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this is a spiritual truth, but it's worded in a very physical way in the passage before us. It's a very physical image. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, I died with him. We were asked the question in song this morning, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Friend, if you're a Christian, you can answer that spiritually, yes, indeed, I was there. Now, my physical eyes didn't witness the event, but spiritually I was there. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. When Jesus Christ died, he took me with him to the cross. He took my sin, he took my blame, he took my condemnation, and he took myself. He took Malcolm Ellis to the tree and nailed me there in his own body. When Christ died for you, you died with him, in the sense that everything that God could find blameworthy and guilty in you was attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died in your place. You are dead. Isaiah 53 puts it like this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. His death became my death. His suffering paid for my sin. And as far as God is concerned, when I received Jesus as my own Savior, Malcolm Ellis died. Now, in the present reality of every Christian, in the present experience of every Christian, my life is hidden with Christ in God. I died with him. When he died on the cross, he took me there. He died for my sin. He nailed me to the cross. And now, having received him by faith, my life is hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, is himself today my refuge. He is my hiding place. He hides me this morning from the just judgment of God. He hides me from the condemnation of sin. He hides me from the flame of hell. He hides me from the accusations of the devil. Romans chapter 8 gives an incredible scenario. It pictures Christ Jesus defending us against accusations. Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then the text says this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, risen. Yea, rather that is risen again. What does that mean today? That means, my friend, this morning, Jesus Christ is my protection. He covers me. He hides me. I am covered in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think we believe this in Baptist life. I don't see how in the world we could believe it without having a little grunt for Jesus along the way. Brother Ken, you were singing this morning, when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory. I'll tell you, we're going to have to practice a little bit. Huh? Do you folk halfway believe what I'm preaching to you this morning? That Jesus Christ is our refuge? You know why you're not going to hell today? It's not because you don't deserve it. I did enough to go to hell this morning before I got to church. Any sin is enough to send a person to hell forever. Sin of a bad attitude, sin of a complaining spirit. I got up and walked outside the motel this morning and started grousing about the rain. Did you? Did you do anything this morning? You have a bad attitude at the breakfast table? Did you snap at your children, fuss at your wife, bite at your husband? I'll tell you, folk, we need Jesus this morning, not just to save us once back yonder. We need Jesus to protect us today from the wrath of God. There's not a day goes by that I don't need a Savior. There's not a day goes by that I don't need the righteousness of Christ to protect me. The wrath of God could break out and just consume me, and justifiably so. What protects me today from the wrath of a holy God? The righteousness of Christ protects me. My life is hid with Christ in God. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Listen to this. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You get the picture? You get the image? The righteousness of Christ robes me this morning like a garment. Now, I personally still fail God miserably. I still fail to be all that I want to be. I fail to live up to what a Christian ought to be, and I do that all of the time, and you do that all of the time. What keeps me saved this morning is not that I'm good or that I'm getting better. What keeps me saved is that Christ hides me in his righteousness this morning. I am right with God because Jesus has given me his righteousness today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made the righteousness of God. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because when Christ died, he became sin for me. And when he rose again, when I trust him in faith, he gives me his righteousness. Jesus took the blame for my sin, and I get the credit for his righteousness. What a gospel. What a gospel this morning. Christ is my refuge. Here I am today standing before you in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, sheltered, surrounded, covered, and protected by the risen Christ. I stand before you today sheltered and covered and protected by the aliveness of Jesus Christ. His death paid for all of my sin. His resurrection conquered my worst enemies. His righteousness covers me like a garment. His aliveness serves as my reconciliation to a holy God. Christ is my resurrection. I am risen with Christ. Christ is my refuge. I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. And then notice, Christ is my resource. Christ is my resource. Look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now stop there. We're going to finish the verse in just a moment. I want you to look at these four words. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. There's so much that's meant by that turn of phrase, and I don't have time to go to any depth in it at all this morning. But I want to just point out to you that Jesus doesn't just give us his life. He himself is our life. Our lives as Christians are lived out of the resource and the reservoir of the living Jesus. Perhaps before this meeting's over, we may look at this text in detail. But this morning, I want to mention John 7 to you. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ is the resource. I come to Jesus and drink, and Jesus becomes my life. When the eternal God came into this world as a baby and lived as a man and died on the cross, Jesus gave his life for us. And that's wonderful. And we should celebrate it this morning with all of our power. But, my friend, that's not all of the gospel. He didn't just give his life for us. Now, having paid for sin, having conquered death and the devil, the resurrected Jesus gives his life to us. Christ is our life. I don't need just to be forgiven. Now, I do need that. I do need to be forgiven, but I need to be more than forgiven today. I don't just need forgiveness. I don't just need a place in heaven assured me. I need power to change. I need the ability to live a life that pleases and honors God in the here and now. And that's why our text is so important. Christ is your life. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ lives in me. Do you know this morning what Christian living is? Christian living is not you as a believer doing your best to live for Christ. Christian living is you as a believer realizing that Christ is alive in me and yielding to this indwelling Jesus so that Christ is able to live in me and live through me. Christian living is Christ living himself in the yielded life of a believer, in the yielded life of a child of God. Now, it may seem like a play on words to you, but I assure you it is essential to the true gospel of Christ that we learn how to rest ourselves in the sufficiency of the living Jesus, allowing Jesus to be himself in us and through us. Ephesians chapter 3 is a parallel to this passage in meaning. Ephesians 3, Paul prayed this for the Christians at Ephesus. He said that you may be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then he went on to say that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the gospel message. Jesus rose from the grave so that I could experience resurrection life in him. Jesus covers me with his righteousness so that I am sheltered and protected from the justice of God, the wrath of God. But more than that, Jesus lives in me to give me power to be what God wants me to be. Christ himself in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about Jesus' very life being made manifest in our mortal flesh. Here's an image that I bet you remember from your study of the Bible. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Christ flowing into me like sap from the vine flowing into the branch. The life of Jesus flowing into me and giving me supernatural power to live in a manner that glorifies God, to bear fruit to the glory of God. All of the power that I need to live for the Lord is found in Christ himself. Christ is my life, and all that I need to do, and in fact all I can do to experience life as God wants me to live it, is to learn how to cast myself on Jesus, to rest myself in him, to be still and know that he is God, to be still and know that he is my life. Some folks think and say, preacher, I'm afraid that if I become a Christian, I'll find that I can't live up to it. Well, I'm not trying to be cute, but the answer is, of course you can't live up to it. No one can. I can't. Your pastor can't. No one in our own power can live up to what it means to be a Christian. The glory of the gospel is that Jesus doesn't leave us to our own power. He comes into us personally when we receive him by faith. He lives on the inside of us. And as we yield ourselves to him, Jesus fills us with the authority and the anointing necessary to live the life that God wants us to live. None of us perfectly. All of us still fail. That's why we're so grateful that Christ is our shelter, our protection, our refuge this morning. But nevertheless, the longer you know him, the more pervasive his life becomes in you, the more he rules and reigns in your heart, and the more you can say, Christ is my life. Christ is what living is about for me. Christ is the power and the resource that I draw on. The glory of the gospel this morning is that the risen Jesus did more than just die back yonder on a cross. He did more than just come out of a garden tomb somewhere back there thousands of years ago. He's doing more than just sitting in heaven at the right hand of the Father this morning. This living Jesus lives inside of his people. He teaches us and he empowers us and he transforms us from the inside out. Jesus doesn't save you and then drop kick you into the world and say, do the best you can, I'll see you when you get to heaven. He is our life. And every breath I breathe, every move I make, every power that I need to surrender to obedience comes from Jesus himself. I'm very concerned, Brother Todd, the longer I travel and preach, this is my 21st year in traveling ministry, 900 and something revival meetings and Bible conferences I've been in, and I'm more concerned at this hour than I've ever been that our churches are literally filled with people who are not saved. They're religious, but they show no evidence that Christ is alive within them. The living Jesus seems to be so strange to them. They seem to be so alienated from spiritual things and from the things of God. I tell you, we can't revive until we get vived. Until the life of God becomes a reality to us, we can't even understand revival. The question this morning was raised at the beginning. Are you risen with Christ? If so, then it's true of you today that you are also a refuge. You have a refuge in Christ. And beyond that, you have a resource in Christ. He is your life. He's living in you. He's empowering you to change and become more holy and more godly and more fruit-bearing, more fruitful. But then I want you to notice, lastly, Christ is my reward. The Bible says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. This Jesus who gave Himself for my sins, who covers me in His righteousness, who gives me Himself, His power, His life, living inside of me, giving me power to change, this Jesus is also coming again one day to earth in glory. When Christ shall appear, the Bible says in verse 4. Not if He shall appear, but when. It's simply a fact that sooner or later the living Jesus is going to return to the scene of the crime. And I mean by that the crime of man against his Creator. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. And then Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." He's coming again, my Savior. The Bible says that the return of Jesus has implications for every kind of creature. The return of Jesus has implications for the angelic world. The return of Jesus has implications for the demonic world. But the return of Jesus has implications for the human world. And none more so than for His own redeemed people. When Christ makes His next physical appearance on this world scene, then those of us who are saved will appear with Him in glory, the Bible says. Christ's return will mean the final glorification of those of us who are saved. In this present earth realm, there still remains suffering in the body, physical suffering. You've asked prayer this morning for one of your beloved members, and all of us could begin to share physical handicaps and difficulties that we deal with because our bodies have not yet been redeemed. Our spirits have, but our bodies have not. But one day Jesus is coming back. The Bible in Romans chapter 8 says that when He comes, all of creation will be delivered from the suffering that sin has brought into it. The physical creation I'm talking about, the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and the planet earth and the solar system, and best of all, our own bodies are going to be affected by the coming of the Lord Jesus. We will appear with Him in glory, the Bible says. This is the glorification of the saints. When our physical bodies are going to be glorified, we sing about it from time to time, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. 1 John chapter 3 says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Philippians chapter 3 says that when Jesus comes back, these bodies of our humiliation will be changed so that they're like unto His glorious body. Now, I'm already benefiting today from the resurrection of Jesus. On a spiritual level, I'm already benefiting from the victory of Christ. But one day soon, I'm going to benefit from His resurrection physically. My physical body will be glorified and shall appear with Him in glory. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says what that means is this mortal will put on immortality. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. And when that happens, the Bible says, then the saying is going to be brought to pass, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Revelation 2 and 22, 21 and 22 talk about the physical benefits of the coming of Jesus when we appear with Him in glory. Now, in just a moment, you're going to dismiss, and we're going to go back here to a dinner table. You're going to eat, and everybody's going to eat, and I'm going to sit there and look at most of it. Because for health reasons, I'm on a very restricted diet. But there's coming a day when that's going to change. There's coming a day when all of these physical ailments and physical problems and physical limitations are going to be done away. And I personally think, because I've had to preach to so many dead Baptists through the years, God's going to give me a special reward. He's going to give me a bowl of banana pudding as big as this pulpit to pay back for the times I've preached to people that couldn't even grunt for Jesus, much less give a shout for it. I love banana pudding. It's almost always in church fellowship halls, and I watch everybody eat it. One day I'm going to get my own share of it. There's coming a day, my friend, when my body's going to be changed and glorified and delivered finally from every effect of the fall of sin. Every effect of sin is going to be done away. And that's because of Jesus. It's just Christ, you see. Christ is my reward. When He appears, then I'll appear with Him in glory. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve any of this. It's Christ who's done this for me today. Can you celebrate that on this Easter Sunday morning? Verse 11 in our text says this, Christ is all and in all. Now, my friend, that's the bottom line today. Christ is all. Jesus is not just something. Jesus is everything. And may I tell you this morning, if Jesus is not your everything, then He's not your anything. Because Jesus refuses just to be something. You say, boy, Jesus is really something. Well, He is really something, but He's more than that. He's everything. And until I know that and embrace it by faith, I'm not a Christian, not by any biblical definition. Christ is all and in all. He is all that I've preached to you this morning and 10,000 times more. He is my resurrection. He is my refuge. He is my resource for living. He is my reward in eternity. And He's everything else besides. Can you say that this morning with sincerity and with a shout of joy? Christ is all. He's everything to me. He means more to me than everything else combined. And I'm trusting in nothing and no one other than Himself to save me and sustain me and take me to heaven in the by and by. I was listening yesterday on my drive to a great message by Dr. Vance Havner. Dear Brother Havner, what a preacher. He said that he had recently read where D.L. Moody had asked a question of someone, do you love Jesus? And the answer given was, well, I don't have anything against Him. And he said, that's about as far as most people go. Most church members. You ask them, do you love Jesus? Well, I don't have anything against Him. Well, you're going to have to go a little further than that to be a Christian. You're going to have to go a little further than just being polite to Jesus, tipping your hat at Him. You're going to have to go a little further than just praying a prayer and signing a card and joining a church to be a real Christian. To be a real Christian, you're going to have to reach the place where you say, Jesus is everything to me. Everything. My all in all. Stand as we pray. Father, thank You for Jesus, my Savior. Thank You that wherever I am, city to city, state to state, thank You that never am I out of His care. Never am I out of His protection. Because I'm raised with Christ. I'm risen with Christ. Christ lives in me. One day He's coming back for me. He's gone to prepare a place for me, He said, and for His children. And if He's gone to prepare a place for us, He shall come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Thank You for Jesus, my all. And I pray this morning, if there's someone in this service who cannot say, Christ is all to me, Christ is everything to me, may this be the morning that they do it, that they make that commitment. In Jesus I pray. Amen.